And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up later on the program, film critic Dan Hudak previews the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival with founder and artistic director Gregory Von Hosch. Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food, and our Broward County Arts Calendar features Jody Horn Leshinsky. A partnership between sister cities Nice, France, and Miami launched the Miami Nice Jazz Festival in 2012, and it's back again, featuring many great stars and new artists. Founder and CEO Philippe Potesta-Herder has concerts taking place countywide at five locations, opening Saturday, November 1st, and closing Sunday, November 23rd. The festival coincides with French Week's Miami, an initiative of the French-American Chamber of Commerce and the Consulate General of France, to promote French culture here in South Florida. And with us today to find out about all of the exciting details is, once again, the founder and CEO of the Miami Nice Jazz Festival, Mr. Philippe Potesta-Herder. And it's great to have you back with us, Philippe.
Thank you, Ed. Good morning. I mean, good afternoon, actually.
It's another exciting jazz festival popping up on November 1st, and you have really programmed it wonderfully. We'll get into specifics. You're with us for two segments. But, Philippe, take us back years ago to Nice, France, and tell me about the renowned Nice Jazz Festival.
Yes, Ed. In 1948, the first jazz festival in the world was held place in Nice, south of France, and welcomed artists such as Django Reinhardt, Louis Armstrong.
Django, wow.
Yeah, Stefan Grappelli. Back down memory lane, right?
Oh, Stefan Grappelli, so great. He played Gussman years and years ago, 25 years ago, for the Lunchtime Lively Art Series. Just phenomenal.
Amazing artist. And on that special day, the closing party of the festival at the Negresco Hotel turned into a torrid jam sesh, as you can imagine back then.
Sure, with those guys.
You know, early 50s, late 40s, with singer Yves Montand and Suzy Dallaire. Then in 1971 until 1993, the festival was held in a different area of town, which is called the Jardin Albert Premier, which is right by the beautiful Mediterranean Sea over there on the English Promenade. And in 1974, George Wynn, producer of the Newport Jazz Festival, among others, produced the Nice Jazz Festival in Simier.
So he brought over some American artists, maybe?
Yes,
Charlie
of course,
Parker
for
or
sure,
something like
for
that?
For sure. It was known as La Grande Parade. Mm. And it's only in 1994 that this festival became again the Nice Jazz Festival.
Oh.
So from 74 to 93, the festival was produced by George Wynn under La Grande Parade was the name of the festival, and welcomed artists such as Ella Fitzgerald, Charlie Mingus, Herbie Hancock, Hart Blakey, Miles Davis, Carlos Santana, and many, many, many others. Back in 2011, the festival moved from the ancient ruins of Simier, where it was actually being held for the last 20 years, and moved back to the original location, which I just mentioned to you before, which is the Jardin Albert Premier on the beautiful English Promenade. And this is when it moved to this area that after a trip to South of France during the Jazz Festival, which was held until that same year, was held in the arenas of Simier. So as a kid, when I was going over there with my parents, I was going to the arenas of Simier, which is the old Romain theater.
Wow.
So I never really saw a similarity with what I thought would be the location here in Miami, which is the beautiful Bayfront Park, which is that beautiful park on the water.
Yeah.
So when I was in Nice that summer, when it was the first year that it moved back to the Jardin, the gardens, that's when I realized a real similarity between actually the way it looks over there in Nice and the way it could look here in Miami at the Bayfront Park area, the Bayfront Park Garden and the amphitheater. So that's from that landscape standpoint that I first got the idea to be like, wow, that would look very good in Miami on the Biscayne Bay. That would be an amazing festival to bring over there. And moving back to Miami after my two months vacation in France, I found out that the city of Nice and the city of Miami were actually sister cities, which I have never known. I've been living here for over 10 years, and I didn't know that my birthplace.
It's kept quiet, I think.
Yeah,
I don't
pretty
know
much.
Why. I don't know.
You know, it's those are two very interesting cities that have a very similar position within their own country. like Miami is kind of a city that has this, it's almost like a country city in a mm-hmm. sense that it doesn't really relate to the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
true.
And so, so does Nice. It's kind of the same type of place where people have a very strong local cultural imprint. And they don't really fit in the larger scale of the country. They are like I just said, like almost like a little country city on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, being living here and being from Nice, I really started to believe that this project could get on. So that's when I decided to try to reach out to the mayor, to the mayor's office here at the city of Miami, and introduce our business plan in a sense, like what we wanted to do with this. That was like 3 years ago now. 4 years ago now, and we've been doing it ever since. Like they welcomed the opportunity. We organized a institutional trip to the Nice Jazz Festival with some of the person at the city, just to show them what it could become here in Miami.
Yeah.
So they have a visual of it.
Well, you were climbing a very high mountain because so many different people and producers and organizations have tried a consistent jazz festival here in Miami, and they'd last 2 or 3 years and whatnot. I remember The Big Orange mm-hmm. was produced by a great not-for-profit we had here called Pace, and it was in downtown Miami on the Bay, and it was more than just jazz. It was multi-music genres. But this year, Philippe, you planned such a variety of great jazz events and a variety of jazz styles and even beyond jazz styles all over Miami-Dade County. You'll be in five or more venues. Collaboration is the key to your success, I'm sure.
Yes, I mean, we, you know, a lot of people that produce other shows around the world, sometimes they just show up in town, they come in, and then they come out, and, mm-hmm. you know, they don't live here, mm-hmm. and they don't actually involve the community into their event. So something that really set us aside from a lot of other ventures, musical ventures, is that we are here all year long. I actually live here, so I'm very involved in the community. But we reach out to local artists. We reach out to all the different venues that are involved in jazz. Like, to give you an example, it was very important for us to involve the South Florida Cultural Arts Center,
mm-hmm.
which is, as you know, around 45 minutes from downtown Miami.
And very, very quick, easy drive.
It is. It is a quick, easy drive. But, you know, it's kind of a stretch. And that's just to show you a little bit about what we wanted to achieve here. We mm-hmm. really wanted to, every players that are involved in jazz on the whole year long basis, we want to kind of say to these people, like, this month, we're all going to celebrate jazz together. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter how far you are or where you're located in Dade, but we want to make sure to promote your beautiful venue for the rest of the year, because we only here 1 month, but there is 11 other months, and they have an amazing programmation over there.
Oh, yeah.
Eric Fliss is doing an amazing job.
Eric Fliss is always doing a great job at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center. You're also celebrating the wonderful Olympia Theater in the Gusman Center in downtown Miami.
Yes, this is
many shows there.
A local jewel.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful theater.
Beautiful place. And it recently changed its name. Now it's really the Olympia mm-hmm. at Gusman Center, not the other way around. So for jazz listeners that are not aware that the Gusman Center is now the Olympia Theater, just be aware that it's the same place. We're not sending you in a place you don't know.
You're also going to have performances at the Fillmore, the National Hotel, and the Catalina Hotel. And in our next segment with Philippe Potesta-Herder, founder and CEO of the Miami Nice Jazz Fest, we'll talk about specifics. More info, of course, on their website at MiamiNiceJazzFestival.com, or you can call 1-877-392-3463 and go to extension number 3. We return with Philippe in just a moment here on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you, Ed.
WLRN presents South Florida Arts Beat. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Today, the partnership between sister cities Nice, France, and Miami bring us the third Miami Nice Jazz Festival, a month-long celebration of the diversity of jazz. Founder and CEO Philippe Potesta-Herder brings us the exciting details. Film critic Dan Hudak previews the enticing Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival with founder Gregory Von Hausch. Chef Norman Van Aken serves up a word on food, and our Broward County Arts Calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski. Stay with us to catch the conversation and information coming up on South Florida Arts Beat right after these news updates from NPR and the WLRN Miami Herald News. Ed Bell with you on South Florida Arts Beat. Our guest in our second segment, Philippe Potesta Herder, the founder and CEO of the Miami Nice Jazz Fest. This year, it's November 1st through the 23rd at five or more destinations here in Miami-Dade County, the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center, Olympia Theater at Gusman Center on Flagler in downtown Miami, the Fillmore on Miami Beach, the National Hotel and the Catalina Hotel, and perhaps a few more. I know. Philippe, let's start with your opening performance Saturday, November 1st at 8 p.m.
Yes, tomorrow night we actually doing something a little bit challenging. We have two concerts going on at the same time, but it's in two very distinctive areas of town. The first event is Etienne Charles, beautiful artist from Trinidad, playing at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center. Tomorrow night, doors open at 8.
A fairly new jazz musician to
yes,
most jazz lovers.
Worse, really worse to listen. Actually, we had a very beautiful article written this week on the Miami Herald outlining those two beautiful artists playing tomorrow, Etienne Charles at South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center.
Thank you, Fernando Gonzalez.
Thank you, Fernando. Beautiful article. Thank you so much for supporting the art. And tomorrow night as well at the Olympia Theater, pianist Roberto Fonseca, with an opening set by the French Horn.
An exciting group out of the University of Miami.
A very exciting group under the leadership of Vincent Raffard. The actual band is becoming the official band of the Miami Nice Jazz Festival throughout the year as well. So we will be presenting them at different shows and promote this beautiful band as they should be. Very talented. And it has this style, you know, of the gypsy jazz. It's a very gypsy jazz band.
Talking about Django. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Very talented people.
Let's move on to Sunday. We want to make sure to get everybody in. Your French brunch series is marvelous.
Yes, this is something we want to try this year as being part of the French Weeks. The Miami Nice Jazz Festival wanted to introduce jazz and food. And this will be done every Sundays, November 2nd. November 9th, November 16th, and November 23rd at the beautiful, newly renovated National Hotel in Miami Beach, right in the heart of South Beach and on the water.
So and it starts about at noon?
It starts at noon, three and a half hours of music by the French Horn. So every Sunday they will actually have a different repertoire of music, ranging from jazz classics to electro, New Orleans beats. Also, we're going to have some gypsy jazz as well. So every Sunday, a different style of music.
When this group hits national, it's going to be tremendous, I think. And
it's going to be a great show.
I think it's going to happen. Friday, November the 8th is a magnificent show. Thank you so much for bringing these three great ladies of jazz song together.
Yeah, this is a beautiful idea, actually, that my friend Robert Geithner, the director at the at the Olympia Theater, suggested that we put together a show that relates all the different artists that are born and or that are living in Miami, and we decided to go with this amazing show, which is going to be called the Miami Leading Ladies of Jazz. This is a unique performance with Nicole Yarling, Rose Max, and Wendy Peterson.
Wow.
Conducted by the talented Chuck Bergeron and the South Florida Jazz Orchestra.
This is
going to be
a
big band,
concert.
Three beautiful ladies. They're all going to do a single set of their own repertoire, and then they'll sing the three of them together.
And that's at the Olympia.
That's going to be at the Olympia Saturday, November 8th.
Now, let's take it into also that evening, jazz session and Italian food at Soia e Pomodoro.
Yeah, Soia e Pomodoro. Like
That's
I said before, we're trying to plug in people that are doing jazz on the throughout the year.
That's in downtown Miami?
Right next door to the Gusman. Mm-hmm. This is a beautiful venue, very authentic, very jazz, very fun, and yummy food there. So we'll have a jam session after each of the Olympia shows, so mm-hmm. tomorrow night and on November 8th. At the Soya and Pomodoro.
Wednesday, November 12th, another great jazz singer.
Of course. We're going to have In the Lobby Lounge jazz at the Olympia. And on November 14th,
Leonard Rutledge.
Yes, that's with...
Wonderful vocalist.
Beautiful vocalist. It's going to be... actually, this event happens every second Wednesday of the month.
That's in the Lobby Lounge of the Olympia. Is that upstairs?
No, it will be. Actually, depending on the attendance, they open the upstairs as well. So it's downstairs and upstairs. Very, very interesting. And you can. It's followed by a tour of the historical venue as well. Like, they take you on the tour.
I want to mention Friday, November 14th, I'm so excited to have back Alan Harris with his band, hopefully with Jesse Jones Jr. on sax. They'll be performing live on South Florida Arts Beat. Later that night at 8 p.m., they perform at the wonderful South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center as part of Miami Nice Jazz Fest.
On November 14th, that Friday. And this year, we're trying something completely new at the Catalina Hotel, which is going to be called the Catalina Jazz Sessions, on Friday the 14th and on Saturday the 15th. It's a free concert. Complimentary of the Catalina Hotel. They will be presenting George Moreno with a Latin Grammy Award winner on November 14. And on November 15, fasten your seatbelt. You'll be able to enjoy some Bebel Gilberto playing
Brazilian
live.
Great Brazilian jazz.
Great Brazilian jazz. And we will be introducing a French band called Dinner at the Thompsons. They are French-American. Beautiful band. Very, very happening in Europe.
Jazz or pop or what?
It's a mix of both. Mm-hmm. And we will also be welcoming DJ Oil, formerly from the Troublemakers in France. This is one of the only French DJ that has that is labeled under the Blue Note. And he will have
Blue
a
Note
special
Records.
Set. Yeah, we'll have a special set with Akin Yai. And again, this is two nights of free concerts at the Catalina Hotel. November 14th and November 15th. So save the dates on those 2 days. November 22nd. I know Ed is looking at me and he's like, how can you put all these artists together? There's so many things to do. So it's not Miami Nice Jazz Festival anymore. Let's introduce it as Miami Jazz Month.
Okay.
That's what's
I like
up.
That. I like that.
So November 22nd, we'll have the Hot Sardines at South Miami Del Cultural Arts Center.
Tell me a little bit about them.
That's a very interesting combination of French and New Orleans jazz. Very, very happening. It's a very lively set.
You're going to get up and dance.
Well, we should. They are that good that you're probably going to do that. And on the November 22nd, with the Rhythm Foundation, we are presenting Diego El Cigala at the Fillmore. You know our great relationship with this beautiful Miami Company Association
Rhythm
called
Foundation.
The Rhythm Foundation.
We love them. Laura Quinlan.
Shaking the music landscape
amazing.
For the last 25 years, and they're
they
still
doing
it.
They always turn us on to new artists.
Definitely.
Tell me about Diego El Cigala's style. What's he doing?
Well, Diego El Cigala is a flamenco singer from mm-hmm. Spain, big character for the ladies, handsome guy. I think it's going to be an amazing show, and we are bringing a little bit of world music into the jazz festival. It's always very hard to just do jazz.
Well, I think
we have to mix it up with other genre.
I think it's great that you're mixing it up and broadening because there's so many wonderful artists to check out. And
it makes it a little bit more interesting. And the fact that we have 3 weeks of events, we hopefully will allow people to at least attend one of those. Instead of concentrating on just one weekend or 2 or 3 days, we want to make the availability.
And you take us all over the county.
Yes, Miami. South Dade, Miami Beach, downtown Miami.
Philippe Pautesta Herder, the founder and CEO of the Miami Nice Jazz Fest, our guest today. More info at MiamiNiceJazzFestival.com and 1-877-392-3463, extension 3. And you wrap it up Sunday, November 23rd at noon with another jazz brunch with the French Horn.
Closing day, November 23rd on Sunday, jazz brunch at the National, and we will have also at night a closing party at night at the Riviera Hotel in a little Cuban place called Moreno's, a little tucked away bar at the Riviera Hotel, bar and restaurant actually. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very cool place, very cool place to hang out. And so for complete schedule of the festival, I invite you to check our website, which is Miami Nice Jazz Festival. The word Nice spells exactly like nice, so it's N-I-C-E.
But you don't pronounce it that way.
Yeah. It doesn't spell like your family member, your niece. No, no, no. It's nice. Miami Nice Jazz Festival then. MiamiNiceJazzFestival.com. And we are coming up in 2015 with, I hope, a concept that's gonna go through, which is called Jazz in Wynwood.
Wow.
Bring a little bit of jazz in Wynwood that already has so much heart going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to step it up a little bit with some cool live music and try to have maybe a weekly event, a monthly event, or at least a bi-yearly event in the heart of Wynwood.
Well, you know, I can't let you out of here before you give us a little more. You're hoping to have a regular jazz event in Wynwood. Why Wynwood?
Wynwood is really this area of town that is becoming super interesting. I kind of relate to this neighborhood. I think it's very original. Great crowd. A lot of access to new things. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of the heart of Miami right now. This is, you know, a little bit where, like, everything's going on, all the edgy stuff. And, you know, I'm 37 years old, so I kind of relate to all this movement. And for me, it's exciting. So a concept like this would make total sense. And I know it's already welcomed already locally by a lot of the people that work there and have galleries or studios. And this is a concept that I think will see the day of light early 2015.
Yeah. Good luck on that. You know, the design district's going to be real jealous.
Yeah, they will. But we'll all have something to, you know,
look
make
forward
everybody
to.
Happy and look forward to.
Mr. Philippe Potesta-Herder, founder and CEO of the Miami Nice Jazz Festival. Good luck to you, sir, on these magnificent endeavors. The Miami Nice Jazz Festival. More info at MiamiNiceJazzFestival.com, 1-87-392-3463. Thank you so much, sir. Once again, good luck.
Thank you. Thank you, Ed.
Hello, Ed Bell with you. It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Later on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food, and Jody Horn-Leschinski features her Broward Arts Calendar. Now, our film critic Dan Hudak previews FLIF 2014.
Each fall, as the temperature drops throughout the rest of the country, but the humidity barely lifts here in South Florida, Gregory Von Hausch and his team at the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival assemble an array of talent, tributes, and films that jumpstart our excitement for the cooler movie-going months ahead. This year's festival, which runs November 7th through the 23rd, includes 175 films that run the gamut of independent features and shorts to documentaries from all over the world. Notable films and appearances include former Seinfeld star Jason Alexander at the opening night film Lucky Stiff, which follows a British shoe salesman who receives an inheritance of $6 million from his uncle, but has to fight off gold-digging moochers in order to get it. Other highlights are The Imitation Game, starring Benedict Cumberbatch as a British soldier who cracks German codes during World War II, only to be condemned for his homosexuality after the war, and Winter Sleep, winner of the Palme d'Or at the 2014 Cannes Film Festival, is a Turkish drama about three people with marital issues who are stuck together. There's also next week's centerpiece film, Frank vs. God, about a lawyer who sues God after a quote-unquote act of God tornado destroys his home. And don't forget about Gone Doggy Gone, which is making its East Coast premiere. The comedy is about a couple that treats their pet Yorkie better than they do one another. The problem is they entrust the untrustworthy Jill to babysit their precious pooch, and when poor little Layla is kidnapped, mass panic ensues. The film is a hilarious spoof of kidnapping dramas with clear references to Ben Affleck's Gone Baby Gone and others. Here's a bit of the Gone Doggy Gone trailer.
Don't worry, everything will be fine. She'll be safe with me.
Jill?
Please roll down the window.
Roll it down.
Jill, what's wrong? Where's Layla?
Gone!
I have your dog.
Oh, Jesus.
Place $30,000 in a duffel bag.
I'm calling the police.
Are you crazy? He'll kill her.
30 G's?
You don't negotiate with terrorists.
Layla! Look around.
Hold on.
This is exciting.
I feel like we're in an episode of Heart to Heart.
It's funny how people
have been... It's not funny.
What the hell am I supposed to tell my new boss?
Layla and I would never move without you.
You need real professionals.
No!
I'll find her. I promise you guys.
Thank you.
With so many films and activities planned throughout the three-week festival, we recently caught up with the aforementioned festival president, Gregory Von Hausch, to learn more. Greg, thank you for joining us on South Florida Arts Beat.
Well, you're my favorite destination, and I mean that seriously.
Thank you. I'm very flattered. You've had a great amount of success the last few years with Oscar contenders playing at the festival, meaning films play at the festival and they go on to win Best Picture, like The Artist, or get four acting nominations like Silver Linings Playbook. Do you ever feel any pressure now to, oh gosh, what's going to be the next Oscar contender and can I get it and what's going to happen?
Well, you know, I don't feel any pressure, but it has come to mind that if I land one of those films, it's really good for box office. So I guess it all comes down to the money end of it, and it is nice. Between you and me, I'm not as excited sometimes about those type of films that are going to be general release. The Artist was an exception because that one broke new ground, and it's definitely an art movie that made the crossover. But I'm more content with finding the offbeat films that maybe don't have the audience or the legs of some of those other big name items, but that's more rewarding to me, even though my board and everybody says, oh, you did it again, you found an Oscar winner. But I'm real happy with the little films, and I'm really happy when we get a film like The Artist.
And you opened with The Artist a few years ago, and unless I'm mistaken, you opened with Waltz with Bashir a few years ago as well, an animated film?
I think we closed with that one. Closed. Yeah, The Waltz with Bashir. That was a different kind of film, too.
And I mention it because it's animated, but it also felt like a documentary. It's about dreams. It's so different and daring and out there. And The Artist, when it was first getting released, was different and daring. I mean, who makes a silent film anymore? And
right.
You're starting this year with a musical comedy for the first time with Lucky Stiff, and you have Jason Alexander coming to town.
Right, and I don't see Oscar in its future, and that's no slight to them. It's something to get there. This is a different kind of film. This is definitely an entertainment film. Come, enjoy it, sit down, relax. It's clever and funny, fabulous art direction. It reminds me of Little Shop of Horrors when it came out, and it has those clever lyrics and great characterizations. Not only with Jason Alexander, but our friend Dennis Farina, it's like his last film. He's in the movie. And Pamela Shaw, that plays Jason's wife, is just a hoot. And they make a kind of a Boris and Natasha couple. It's very funny.
And then to switch gears, you have two documentaries making their Florida premiere that are about remarkable women. The Empowerment Project, Ordinary Women Doing Extraordinary Things. It's about five female filmmakers driving across America to encourage, empower, and inspire the next generation of female filmmakers. There was an article recently in Entertainment Weekly about female producers and how they're behind some of the strongest films, the Oscar contenders, the American Hustles of the world that are getting released these days, and some major big-budget blockbuster movies like The Hunger Games. So it's great to see a documentary that's encouraging female filmmakers.
Oh, definitely. And it's fun, too. Both of the films that you mentioned there, I Know a Woman Like That and The Empowerment Project, are fun and adventurous and exciting. The Empowerment Project, as you mentioned, different women doing different things, and it's just very fast-moving and exciting. It's not like a talking head type of thing. A little bit more on that genre would be I Know a Woman Like That, but it's got great people like Gloria Steinem and Eartha Kitt and Rita Moreno and Lauren Hutton and a whole bunch of people that are getting on into their silver years and talking about what they wanted to do with their lives and how they wanted to make a mark and how they still are doing that. And it's just it's invigorating, and I know my audience will really get a kick out of both of those.
Absolutely. And then on a sadder note, the tribute to Robin Williams. The loss of Robin Williams has affected all of us in various ways. I grew up on his movies. I grew up with Good Morning Vietnam and his great comedies. One of his last films is called A Merry Friggin' Christmas, and you're doing a tribute to him and screening the film.
Yes, we really felt like we needed to do something. So I started going through researching in some video archives for some material on him, and we were looking and we were finding, you know, the usual clips from like some of the movies that you mentioned, and we're definitely going to pepper the tribute with those as well. But we came across this clip that these veterans did of an appearance at Bagram Air Force Base, and he's there entertaining the troops and talking on stage and off stage just candidly with people, and it's just remarkable. That's just one of the things, and I was always struck by the fact that here's this guy that was just a master, a comedian, actor, impersonator, that made everybody laugh. Everybody was in love with Robin Williams, and he could just make your day, and yet he was the saddest person you could find, and so sad that he would take his life. And that just struck us. We felt we have to do something for Robin Williams just to say goodbye for all he did for us.
And as we know, the focus on Florida filmmakers is essential. Emphasis on the Florida filmmakers this year. What do you have in store?
Well, we've got quite a bit. There's a young man that graduated from the University of Central Florida. His name is Max Rousseau, and he lives, I guess he lives out in Pembroke Pines, and he wrote a story, a film, and directed it called Pembroke Circle, and it's about human trafficking, but I was just so struck by this young man, I think he's in his early 20s, and how mature the film was, and how beautiful the script was, and how he didn't overpaint things. He left a lot of guessing for the audience and whatnot, and he just did a masterful job. So I'm extremely proud of that. Max will be at all three of his screenings at Lauderdale, Hollywood, and Miramar, where we are this year as well. And then we have another local filmmaker, Barbie Castro, who has a thriller suspense movie called Patient Killer. Casper Van Diem is the director, and he also co-stars in it. And that one is going through the roof. Then we have a lot of shorts from short filmmakers of Alan Darnay and Lou Pappas have a short. There's quite a few in there. So, yeah, we do feel like we owe it. We get money from the state of Florida and from Broward County, and we want to show that we're supporting the Florida filmmaker. I think that not only do they expect us to do that, we want to do it.
And with Gregory Von House, president of the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival, Greg, we want to get you out on this question as we wrap up. As I think I ask you every year, the personal highlight that you're looking forward to the most this year is?
Boy, can I squeak two in there?
I think you usually do, two or three.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me try with two. One is George Hamilton, who I had lunch with the other week, and what a charming guy. He's just what you see on the stage and on the screen and in talk shows. He's just like that. He's extremely lovable, extremely personable, and just down to earth. And he's going to do a show live on our stage called George Hamilton at Home on Stage and recount stories of Hollywood and his life, and then take questions and answers from the press. Now, that's a home run right there. I know that's going to be big. Something that people might not know about is producer Mike Downey, who's flying over from London to get the Producer of the Decade Award, which is the first time we've ever given one out with such a title, although we've honored many producers. But he's been so prolific, and I've known Mike since the early 90s, and he has got just the most incredible wealth of films. And the director that is coming in to present him with the award is Stephen Daldry.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's how he thinks of him. And for those that don't know Stephen Daldry, he directed The Reader, which won an Oscar for
Kate Winslet.
The Hours.
Billy Elliot's one of my favorites. That's a
right.
Great get. That's awesome.
And The Hours won one for Nicole Kidman. So, yeah, he's really a fabulous filmmaker, and we're glad that he's coming in to present this award. So that's kind of the offbeat one that people might not know about.
Fantastic, and great note to end on. Greg, thank you very much for the time, and best of luck this year.
Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
The Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival will be held November 7th through the 23rd at various venues throughout Fort Lauderdale, including the Cinema Paradiso locations in Fort Lauderdale and Hollywood, the Amaturo Theater inside the Broward Center for the Performing Arts, and the Sunrise Civic Center Theater in Sunrise. For more information, call 954-525-3456 or go to fliff.com. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Dan Hudak.
Chairman Emeritus of the Florida Film Critics Circle, Dan Hudak is a nationally syndicated film critic. You can visit him online at hudakonhollywood.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue right after these messages.
By the Florida Keys and Key West Tourist Development Council.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the aus and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot do de do ya do do.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is dried chilies. We had come by plane, bus, and then by foot to stand in front of a heap of dried chilies that simply took my breath away. And it was not for the scent, though the scent was breathtaking. It was how to square in my mind how many people and how many meals it would rationally take to utilize the veritable hill of chilies that sat on a surface the size of four ping pong tables tied together. The chilies went up to a ceiling as tall as any cathedral's, yet we were not in a cathedral, but in a mercado in Mexico City. It was probably the city's biggest mercado. But that table of chilies was but one of 50 or so laden. There were an equal amount of fresh chilies with many varieties. I knew I could not bring the fresh ones back with me past security. I was told that I could put the dried ones in my pack luggage and be safe. So that is where I focused my efforts that morning in the midst of a chili head's dream world. I am attracted to flavors that hook you on several levels, and dried chilies can hook you good. Before I get into telling you how to cook with dried chilies, note that there are two basic distinctions in the overall family. Chilies that are simply dried, and chilies that are dried through a process of smoking them. You will be able to tell by reading the package in most cases. It is rare that choosing the wrong type here will ruin a dish. It is simply that the smoked chilies will offer a mesmerizing smokiness to the end result. In every case, you want to reawaken the somewhat dormant gift a dried chili possesses. It is the capsaicin that marks the primary persona of the world of chilies. Capsaicin, the active component of chili peppers, is the sail that takes the chili lover to a kind of mind-expanding bliss. I am amongst the sailors of that sort. Buy dried chilies that retain a bit of pliancy. Brittle chilies generally mean they have been languishing too long on the store's shelves and will be devoid of the full range of power they once held. In almost every case, I remove the stem and all or the majority of seeds by simply tearing or cutting the chili open and wiping them with a glove-protected hand. Then I place them in a dry skillet or a proper Mexican invention created specifically for such chores known as a comal, and gently toast them until they become aromatic, taking care not to burn them. Then I soften them in just a little water, vinegar, or stock, depending on their application, and proceed depending on what I'm making. Far from Mexico City the other night, I prepared a tomato sauce that I wanted to go with a variety of meals. It was a big batch size, so I wanted to keep it fairly simple so that I could fashion the smaller finishing sauces for each specific meal accordingly. But I guess I had Mexican food foremost in my mind as I worked, so I reached for an area of my spice cabinet labeled Little Mexico. I have a few countries that get such appellations in that fragrant closet. I chose some dried chipotles. It took me back to that stand in Mexico City. This time, we sailed. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of the memoir, No Experience Necessary, The Culinary Odyssey of Norman Van Aken. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Allspice. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we welcome back Jody Horn-Leschinski, Assistant Director with the Broward Cultural Division. Great to have you back with us, Jody.
Well, thank you, Ed. It's so nice to be back. And I just wanted to say we have one more day in October, and everybody should join the hundreds of arts organizations and communities throughout the United States in celebrating National Arts and Humanities Month.
Bravo.
Go attend a theater, go take a ceramics class or a dance class, read or sing with your kids. You can host a creative conversation or even ask your mayor to issue a proclamation. Recently, Broward Cultural Division's Public Art and Design Program created a little excitement at the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport because the sculpture by artist Dwayne Hansen, vendor with Walkman, was moved from Terminal 3 to the baggage claim area in Terminal 1. And the sculpture is now housed in a display case where you can view it all the way around. And this artwork has been in the airport since 1990.
He's really great. I saw a wonderful exhibition of his at the National Gallery of Art in Washington years ago.
His artwork is amazing. It is so realistic.
Mm-hmm.
People really have to take a double take to see if it's real or not. So November 5th is coming up, and it's a Wednesday, and we invite your listeners to mark their calendars to attend this year's Arts Ed Forever, which is the new umbrella for the 29th Annual Arts Teacher of the Year Awards program. We are so proud that our title sponsor is Florida Power and Light, and this year the entire arts education community will be rewarded, from arts educators, students, organizations, businesses, and legislators, and we're recognizing, celebrating, and advocating arts education. Visit Broward Cultural Division's website for details and to RSVP. So this weekend, we have so much coming up, Ed, and I'm just going to fly through this.
Okay.
The American Scene Photography Martin Z. Margulies Collection showcases over 190 photographs from its exceptional archive dating from the early 1900s through today by 74 different photographers. The exhibition will be at the NSU Museum of Art, Fort Lauderdale, from November 2nd through March 22nd, 2015. On Sunday, the David Posnack JCC's 27th Annual Jewish Book Festival invites everyone to come and see Alan Salkin discuss his work From Scratch, The Uncensored History of the Food Network, which covers the entire story of the Food Network. This weekend, the very spirited Festival of Remembrance and Revelry is Florida Day of the Dead celebration. This creative spectacle honors the Mexican tradition and now lasts 2 days, and it's in the downtown Fort Lauderdale area. And it's on Saturday evening with edgy activities for the 21-plus crowd. And then on Sunday, the traditional skeleton processional will line up in Huizinga Plaza across the street from NSU Museum of Art Fort Lauderdale at 2 p.m. and will begin marching west along the river at 2:15 p.m. Opening Saturday and running through January 4th, Broward Stage Door Theater presents Old Jews Telling Jokes. Initially a popular website, this review has been described as a pickle barrel full of giggles. It celebrates the rich tradition of Jewish humor and all the rabbis, complaining wives, fed-up husbands, patients, challenged physicians, gossiping ladies, and competitive men. David Cook, the unforgettable American Idol Season 7 winner, comes to the Broward Center for the Performing Arts on Saturday at 8:30 p.m. for an intimate performance in the Amateur Theater. His new work is an impressive collection of tunes showcasing the power and range in Cook's voice, as well as his insightful songwriting. Opening Friday and running through November 23rd, Pembroke Pines Theater of Performing Arts presents Neil Simon's The Sunshine Boys. For 43 years, the Sunshine Boys were the biggest comedy team in vaudeville. They haven't spoken in 11 years, but now CBS wants to reunite the Sunshine Boys, now in their 70s, for a big comedy special. Broward Center for the Performing Arts presents The Monster Who Ate My Peas on Sunday at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Based on the multi-award-winning book, this funny musical, ideal for young people in grades kindergarten through second grade, tells the poignant story of a young boy who doesn't want to eat his peas. Each family fun show includes a pre-show art activities and face painting and post-show snacks for the entire family. This weekend, Broward's premier high school magnet for the visual and performing arts proudly presents Dream Girls, featuring the Dillard Center for the Arts Theater Department in conjunction with the nationally renowned DCA Jazz Ensemble. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday at 4 p.m. Ed, I know your listeners have heard me talk about Broward 100, Broward County's year-long centennial celebration. These next few events are sanctioned and official events of Broward 100. Saturday and Sunday, starting at noon, is MiniCon. It's a pop culture convention featuring animation, comics, anime, video games, costuming, and pop culture, and it will take place at the Quality Inn in Sawgrass. Saturday at 2 p.m., the Emmy Award-winning 70s pop culture phenomenon Schoolhouse Rock Live comes to the musical stage at the Miramar Cultural Center. And every Sunday night at 7:30 p.m., enjoy the River Ghost Tour. The tour includes a 30-minute visit inside the Stranahan House and an hour-long boat ride along the New River. If you would like more detailed cultural event information, please visit artscalendar.com, Broward County's complete guide to the arts. Never miss a thing. Get there.
Great event suggestions from Jody Horn-Leshinsky, Assistant Director with the Broward Cultural Division. And great weekend to you, Jody. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and have a wonderful weekend.
Did you ever attend a boys' club or a boys' and girls' club here in Miami-Dade when you were a kid? If so, they want to hear from you. The Boys and Girls Club of Miami-Dade is planning an amazing reunion for its alumni in early 2015, and they want you to be there. What a great opportunity to reconnect and see your old friends and coaches from years past. If interested, please call Arthur Hernandez at 305-446-9910. And that's at extension 13, or email alumni at BGCMIA, as in Boys and Girls Club, MIA.org. Once again, 305-446-9910, extension 13. Ask for Arthur. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Andy Wagner is our technical director. We'd like to thank our contributors as well, Dan Hudak, Norman Van Aken, and Jody Horn-Leshinsky. Please call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, a fun holiday tonight. And as always, please keep your dial set to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.